बनचारे यमुना तेरा बनचारे जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारे जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jayo Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Shri Radhe Jayo Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jayo Krishna Balaram Jayo Vrindavan Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Vrindavan Dham, Jayo Vrindavan Dham. Jayo Radhe Shyam. Radhe Shyam Lalita Vishakhadi Radhe Shyam Lalita Vishakhadi Radhe Shyam Jayo Jagannatha Jagannatha Baladeva Jayo Subhadra Jayo Gauranitai, 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 Jayo Gauranitai. Prabhupada, 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 Jayo Jayo Prabhupada. Jay Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada ki Jay Jay Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakachari Ashtottara Shatashri Srimad. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Go. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Om Namo भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवतिरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर टुडेज डिस्कशन ऑफ श्री भागवत श्रीमद् भागवतम। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 टाइटल्ड एज आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ एंड वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम वर्स नंबर 36।
जीवराशिभिर् आकीर्ण अंडकोशांघ्रिपो महान तन्मूलत्वाज अच्युतेज्य सर्वजीवात्मतर्पणम्। जीवराशिभिराकीर्ण अंडकोशांघ्रिपो महान तन्मूलत्वाज अच्युतेज्य सर्वजीवात्मतर्पणम्। जीवराशिभिराकीर्ण अंडकोशांघ्रिपो महान तन्मूलत्वाज अच्युतेज्य सर्वजीवात्मतर्पणम्। जीवराशिभिर् आकीर्ण जीवराशिभिराकीर्ण सर्वजीव जीवराशिभिराकीर्ण
सर्वजीवात्मतर्पणम्।
శివరాశిభిరాకీర్ణ అండకోశాంఘ్రిపో మహాన్ జీవరాశిభి. బై మిలియన్స్ అండ్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఆకీర్ణ ఫిల్డ్ అప్ ఆర్ స్ప్రెడ్ ఓవర్ అండకోశ ద హోల్ యూనివర్స్ ఆంఘ్రిప లైక్ ఎ ట్రీ మహాన్ వెరీ వెరీ గ్రేట్ తన్మూలత్వాత్ because of being the root of this tree achyuta ijya worship of the supreme personality of godhead sarva of all jivatma living entities tarpanam satisfaction Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The entire universe, which is full of living entities, is like a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta, Krishna. Therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, the Lord says, అహం సర్వస్య ప్రభవో మత్తః సర్వం ప్రవర్తతే ఇతి మత్వా భజంతే మాం బుధా భావ సమన్వితాః. ఐ యామ్ ద సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ స్పిరిచువల్ అండ్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్స్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఎమినేట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ మీ ద వైజ్ హూ పర్ఫెక్ట్లీ నో దిస్ ఎంగేజ్ ఇన్ మై డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ అండ్ వర్షిప్ మీ విత్ ఆల్ దేర్ హార్ట్స్ People are very much anxious to give service to other living entities, especially to the poor. But although they have manufactured many ways to give such help, actually they are expert in killing the poor living entities. This sort of service of mercy is not recommended in the Vedic wisdom. As stated in the previous verse, it has been decided Niruktam by expert saintly persons that Krishna is the root of everything and that worshipping Krishna is worshipping everyone. Just as supplying water to the root of a tree means satisfying all of its branches and twigs. Another point is that this universe is full of living entities from top to bottom on every planet. Jiva Rashi Bihir Akirna. Modern scientists and so-called scholars think that there are no living entities on planets other than this one. Recently, they have said they have gone to the moon, but did not find any living entities there. But Srimad Bhagavatam, the other Vedic literatures, do not agree with the foolish conception. There are living entities everywhere, not only one or two, but jiva rashi bihi, many millions of living entities. Even on the sun there are living entities, although it is a fiery planet. The chief living entity on the sun is called Vivasvan. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. All the different planets are filled with different types of living entities according to different living conditions. To suggest that only this planet is filled with living entities and that others are vacant is foolish. This betrays a lack of real knowledge. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురోన్ వైష్ణ వాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita shri vishakham vitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे यं प्रव्रजन्तं मनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायन विरह कातर आजुहावा पुत्रेति तन्मयतया दरवोभिनेदु स्थं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि
हरे कृष्ण सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम दिस चैप्टर कॉल्ड एज आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ सो इट्स फॉर बेसिकली designed for grihasthas or one who is leading a family life and what's the ideal. These two verses, 35 and 36, is in one sense the crux of this chapter. The reason is, in this family life, who is the center of that family life is what is described in these two verses. In the 35, in the last verse, the example of the Rajasuya sacrifice was provided, where Krishna was provided the Agra Puja. Agra Puja means the primary worship was supplied or was done for Krishna. It was unanimously decided to be to whom to worship, because in that yajna, the denizens of all planetary systems were present, including Brahma, Narada. Everyone were there. The Lord's three incarnations were there. Krishna was there. Who are the three incarnations in Mahabharata? In Mahabharata, the Lord had three incarnations and all were there during that time. One is Krishna, the other two? And? Parashurama. And actually Vedavyasa as well. Vedavyasa also is an incarnation of the Lord. So there are four incarnations in that sense. Although he's a literary incarnation and Parashurama is a Shaktyavesha avatar. So, although they were all there, Krishna was declared as the supermost, supreme most. So therefore he was offered the puja. And 36 kind of nails the point to say that it has to be offered to Achyuta. Ijya means to worship. To whom? Achyuta. And here, just a Sanskrit word, Angripaha. It says, Andakosha Angripo Mahan. Angri means what? Angri. What is Angri? Krishnangri we have. What is Angri? Angri means feet. Paha means what? Paha means one to drink. Apaha means water. Paha means to drink. So trees also have a name called Angripaha. Angripaha means one who drinks from the feet. Does it make sense? The trees drink from the feet. That's why they are called Angripaha. So Krishna can also drink from the feet. That's why we say, what is the prayer we sing every day in the morning? 7 o'clock? Angani asya sakalendre vrittimanti. So Krishna can do anything with any of his senses, including his limbs. So trees have this special feature, they drink and eat through their feet. Although they cook using their leaves, they drink water using their roots. So Angripa is a very interesting word that is given to the trees. So talking about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, before we begin discussing this verse, there is a verse in the 12th canto, four verses before Bhagavatam ends, there is a verse.
Kasmai yena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipah pura tadrupena chanaradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupina yogindraya tadatmanat bhagavat rataya karunyatas tatshuddham vimalam vishokham amritam satyam param dhimahi.
The chapter in the 12th canto, the last chapter of the 12th canto is called as what? The glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter glorifies Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is glorifying itself in that sense. In the last but fourth verse, Bhagavatam culminates by its own glorification by this verse. Kasmai yena vibhasito yamatulo jnana pradipah pura. When Shukadeva Goswami culminates his preaching to Parikshit Maharaj, there is a prayer which actually meditating on the pure and spotless Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. And this verse is speaking about the disciplic succession or the parampara of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, this jnana pradipa pura tadrupena cha naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupina. This was given from the Lord himself, tadrupena, to whom? Who spoke the Bhagavatam first to whom? From Krishna to Brahma, right? From Brahma to whom? To Narada Muni. From Narada Muni to whom? Vyasadeva. From Vyasadeva to whom? Shukadeva Goswami. From Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. So that is what all this verse is talking about. Tadrupena cha Naradaya. Tadrupena means you gave this to Brahmaji himself, to Narada Muni, Narada Munaye, and Munaya Krishnaya. Who is Krishnaya here? Krishnaya here is Vedavyasa. What was our Vedavyasa's name? Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. His name is Krishna Dvaipa. Dvaipa means born in a dvipa. Dvipa means an island. One who is born in a dvipa is called Dvaipa. Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa. That is his name. So Munaya Krishnaya Tadrupina Yogindraya. Then you have given this to the yogi. Who is the yogi here? Shukadeva Goswami. And then Tad Atmanatha Bhagavadrataya. Bhagavadrataya means one who is always focused on the Lord. That is Parikshit Maharaj. Out of compassion, you gave this to Parikshit Maharaj. And what did you give? This Shuddham, Vimalam, Vishokham, Amritam. So this is what Bhagavatam is. Bhagavatam is Shuddham. It is pure. Vimalam means it doesn't have any mala. It is pure, spotless. And Vishokham, that which removes shoka, grief. Amritam, that is nectarian. And therefore this is Satyam Param Dhimahi. If you remember, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, how does it start? Yes, janmadi yasya janmadyasya yatonvayaditaratas charthesva bhignaswarat tene brahma hridayadikavaye muhyanti yat surayah tejo vari mridam yatha vinimaya yatra trisargo mrsha dhamna svena sadanirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. Now these words, satyam param dhimahi, is an indication that it's a Gayatri verse. So same way this verse also ends, tat shuddham vimalam vishokham amritam satyam param dhimahi. It begins with a Gayatri, it ends with a Gayatri. And after this verse, Bhagavatam actually pays his obeisances to Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami and the Supreme Lord and to the holy name, the Sankirtan. That's how the Bhagavatam ends. But actually this verse culminates the meditation on Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the glory of Bhagavatam. And from the parampara, how do we access the parampara? Through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Srila Prabhupada. It has come all the way to us from this verse comes from the 12th canto. This is coming from the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, we'll just meditate a few minutes. In this verse, kasmai yena vibhasito, 19th verse from the last chapter of the 12th canto. Kasmai means Prabhupada translates it as unto Brahma. Brahma is also known as Ka. You know the word Ka? Ka means Brahma. There is a verse in the Mahabharata where Lord Shiva says, Ka iti brahmano, brahmano nama ishauham sarvadehinam avam tavanga sambhutam tasmat keshava namavan. Ka iti brahmano. Lord Shiva says, Keshava, your name is Keshava because in the Keshava there is Ka, which is Brahma, and Sha, which is Shiva. So, because we too have come from you, Avam Tavanga Sambhutam, Tava Anga Sambhutam, from you we have expanded, Lord Shiva is saying, my dear Lord, because from you we have expanded, Ka and Sha, we are, Ka means Brahma, Sha means Shiva, you are called as Keshava. You are Keshava, therefore we are Ka and Sha. So Ka is the name of Brahma. Therefore this verse, the last verse of Bhagavatam which we are speaking about is called Kasmai. Now this was so beautiful, I couldn't stop myself. We will meditate on the word Keshava because this verse itself is talking about Achyuta Ijya. One way of worshipping Krishna or Achyuta is to meditate on his beautiful names. The word Keshava, what does it remind us of? Long hair, isn't it? Kesha. We'll come to that meaning also. Sanatana Goswami has written a commentary on the Bhagavatam called as Vaishnava Toshani. In that commentary, he gives a meaning of word Keshava. He says, Ka means Brahma, Isha means Shiva, Ka Ishava, Va means from whom these two have expanded. He says, both Lord Brahma and Shiva get their transcendental qualities or get their qualities from Krishna or Keshava. Therefore, he is Keshava. Keshava, Ka and Isha. This is another meaning of Keshava. There is a third meaning of Keshava from the Mahabharata. Kasya Brahma Samuttishtha Isha Shankara Evacha Shrishtyadina Vartayai Tauya Keshava Bhavan. This is from the Mahabharata or the Harivamsha Purana. Sometimes it is also mentioned in the Harivamsha Purana that the creative potency of Brahma, Brahmaji creates and Shiva destroys. The destructive energy of Lord Shiva and the creative potency of Lord Brahma, Shrishtyadina, Shrishti and Adi. Shrishti means creation, Adi means destruction. These two potencies or energies have been invested by you in Ka and Sha. Ka means Brahma and Sha means Shiva. Isha, basically Isha. So Ka Isha. Therefore you are Keshava, my dear Lord. So this is the third meaning of, this is the second meaning of Keshava. And then Keshava also means the hair. Which hair? In the Upanishads, it is actually written, Keshava means the hair. Which hair? Upanishads doesn't talk of this hair, which is a dead follicle, because hair is dead. Hair and nails are dead in our body. Therefore, it is very inauspicious to have hair inside the house or to cut nails inside the house. It is said, who cuts nails in their house, it becomes a graveyard. That house becomes a graveyard. We shouldn't cut nails in the house. We shouldn't, you know, have hair everywhere in the house. It's very inauspicious. It's very dirty. Obviously, that hair is not being spoken about in Upanishads. Upanishads say, Keshava means the Kesha. Kesha means the hair. Which hair? That hair which comes as effulgence from Krishna. That effulgence which reflects from the sun and the moon, which nourishes this earth with life. That is called Keshava. This light that we see everywhere, it is also a manifestation of the sun and the moon, which is eternally coming from Krishna. That is called that energy which nourishes this universe is called Keshava. Therefore, this is the meditation in the Gayatri when we say Om Bhur Bhuvasva. Now, coming to Keshava, another few understandings of Keshava is, Keshava also indicates to the other forms of the Lord. If you come to Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, which is the most hairiest form of the Lord? Huh? No, there is another one. Black hair. Varaha. Is it not? Varaha is a lot of hair. It's full of hair, right? And one of the Alvars from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Keshava means for me Varahadev.
because he used to worship Varaha as beautiful Kesha. Of course, the Varaha is beautiful for him. It's not Varaha the way, it's not the boar that we see in the wild. When Krishna comes as Varaha, he's even more beautiful. So he's Varaha. So therefore, Keshava can also be understood in various incarnations of the Lord. One of the incarnations we see in the Vishnu Sahasranama,
Yogo Yoga Vidam Neta Pradhana Purusheshwaraha Narasimha Vapuhu Shriman Keshava Purushottamaha
Narasimha Vapuhu. Therefore, he is Sri Keshava, Sriman Keshava. Who is that? Who has come in the body of Narasimha. He's got beautiful hair. Narasimha Deva has beautiful hair. Therefore, he is Sriman Keshava, Purushottamaha. See, Vishnu Sahasranama also glorifies him like that.
Another meaning of Keshava. This is the fourth meaning, and fifth meaning we will culminate. Sorry, it was so beautiful to meditate on this word, on these names of Keshava. Another meaning is, Ka also means water. Kam, we also say Kam. Kam also means water, or Ka means water.
Apaha, Ojas, Jala, Ka, Kam. They're all Tadbhava Vachaka, or the similar meanings of water in Sanskritam. And each has a different connotation also.
Ka means Jala. Ke means from Jala, or inside the Jala. We are talking of Keshava, right? And Shava means dead body. That is the common understanding, isn't it? But in Sanskritam, Patanjali in his Yoga Sutra says, there's a book called Mahabhashya. In the Mahabhashya, he says there is another meaning of Shava which people have forgotten, because there are so many words in Sanskritam that Panini's grammar also does not cover the entire realm of Vedic Sanskritam. Panini's grammar also is very limited. Therefore, if you go to Vedic Sanskritam, people don't usually refer to Panini's grammar. Panini's grammar is usually referred by non-Vedic people, most of them. If you go to pure Vedic paramparas, they don't refer to Panini's grammar, because Vaidika Sanskritam is even more advanced. Patanjali in his Yoga Sutra says, Shava means not that which does not move. Shava means which doesn't move. But Shava has an entirely opposite meaning, that which moves. How? Now, there is a very similar word in English. Can you guess? Take a guess. Shava means that which moves. Swim, but there is another very close word to Shava. Have you heard of Shov? I'll show you a way, they say, right? Shov means what? Thrust. I'll pick you. You know, you have a shovel. You do shovel, you just pick and throw it. That Shov comes from Shava. You see, and till Dwapar Yuga, it said this word was used, and maybe this word might be used in Lithuanian or some other language. If you see, Lithuanian language also is very close to Sanskritam. East European countries speak, the languages are very close to Sanskritam. So now K means in water, Shava means to move in water. What is the form of the Lord which moves in water? And? Matsya and Kurma. So Keshava also means Matsya and Kurma. Right? So many meanings of the Lord. Now, we will come. Keshava also means, there is another meaning of Keshava. Prabhupada gives in the Krishna book. The killer of Keshi. Therefore, he is Keshava. One who did the Shava of Keshi. Therefore, he is Keshava. So, he is Keshava. Now, we will come to the beautiful form of the Lord. Why he is called Keshava? Because the form of the Lord, when Krishna appeared in Vrindavana, his beautiful curly hair, even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, we have his beautiful curly hair and with flowers in his hair. Krishna was so beautiful that when he used to come in the forest, he used to stay away from the cows. You know why? Because when he is near the cows forget to eat the grass. They keep the grass in their mouth and they are chewing. Have you seen the cows chew the cud? They'll keep chewing it always. And when they see Krishna, bus, the grass is like that and they keep seeing. We've seen sometimes children are like that. They keep the cookie and they keep watching the TV. And the cows are like that. They keep chewing the grass, and when they see Krishna finish, stubbed. They are just like, you play the statue, you become statue. Everybody is just bewildered by Krishna's beauty. And they used to just stare at Krishna. All the trees, peacocks, deer, everybody used to become quiet. So therefore, Krishna used to sometimes hide from them. Okay, you eat. Okay, I don't want to mesmerize you with my beauty. So beautiful Krishna's beauty was. In fact,
The problem was, even Brahmaji, when he saw Krishna, he couldn't get attracted to this beauty. Why? He saw Krishna, but he could not become like those cows. Why? Because of ignorance. So sometimes ignorance can cover even the supreme most intelligent person in this creation, Brahma. Of course, it was Krishna's yoga maya which was covering him. Otherwise, Brahmaji cannot be covered like that. And after the Brahma Vimohana Leela, after his ignorance or avidya was removed, Brahmaji approaches Krishna. And how is Krishna standing? You've seen the beautiful painting. He is actually standing against a tree, putting his 1 foot against the tree, and on one hand he is holding yogurt rice. That's why you have to come to South India to eat yogurt rice. If you're not eating yogurt rice, you're not Krishna's devotee. South Indians tell that. After every meal, finish your meal with yogurt rice. Why? Because Krishna always eats yogurt rice. So he's holding yogurt rice in his hand, which was actually dripping away between his fingers, and his beautiful hair, and he's actually not even looking at Brahma. He's looking somewhere else, and Brahmaji is sitting in front of him and praying. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful chapter, 10.14. In fact, it reminded me while preparing for this lecture, Srila Prabhupada's last translation. You know what was it? The 13th chapter, which is Brahma Vimohana Leela. And he finished his translation there. And the 14th chapter onwards, it was the disciples of the glorious disciples of Srila Prabhupada who translated that. And Prabhupada was asked, Prabhupada, can we film your recording when you're translating Bhagavatam? Prabhupada agreed. So they adjusted the lights in such a way Prabhupada is not put lights into his eyes, and they recorded. We are fortunate to see those recordings. And on the few words Prabhupada said while translating one of the verses in this chapter, he said, everything is happening according to Krishna's desire. One who realizes this in truth is really Krishna conscious. This is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said this. Now, if someone meditates on the gravity of this statement, everything is happening because of Krishna's desire. I mean, everything is happening because of Krishna's desire. One who really realizes this and is acknowledging it is really in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says this. Now, the disciples did not understand what Prabhupada meant by that. They only realized it after Prabhupada departed from this mortal planet. What he was saying is Prabhupada was planning to wind up his pastimes, and he was indicating that this is what Krishna wants. But the disciples of Prabhupada wanted him to become healthy, preach everywhere, inspire them to become Krishna conscious. But they did not realize what really Prabhupada meant. That Prabhupada meant that Krishna wants me to wind up now. 13th chapter. You see. So it was very interesting. Now coming back to the beauty of Krishna, which Prabhupada was meditating, Brahmaji starts with a prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Shri Brahmo Vacha Naumidyate Bhravapushe Tadidam Baraya Gunjavatam Saparipichala Sanmukhaya Vanyashraje Kavala Vetra Vishana Veno Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade Pashupanka Jaya. Brahmaji says, Navami means I will pay my obeisances. Idya, I will pay my obeisances. Naumidya te bhra vapushe tadidam tadidambra ambaraya. Your body is like lightning blue. Like the rain-laden clouds. It is so blue. Ambaraya. Gunjavatamsha. Gunja means berries. Your earrings are like earrings are made of berries, you know, because he's Vanamali. He's a forest dweller. So therefore, he doesn't wear, you know, modern city-dwelling things. He always wears something that's available from nature. Gunjavatamsa paripichha lasan mukhaya. That beautiful face, and you are adorned with vanyashrije. Everything that you are wearing is adorned from the forest. Vanyashrije kavala. Kavala, in Kannada also there is a word. Kavala means a morsel of food. So you're holding, what do you call in Hindi, I don't know. Mutti bhar, rice rakte, I don't know what you call it as. In Kavala they say in Kannada. You're holding a morsel of rice. Kavala vetra venu, vishan.
Vishana means the bullhorn. Bullhorn and a flute. You have adorned a bullhorn and a flute. Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade. And he's actually meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Your feet is so soft. Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade Pashupankajaya. Pashupa means what? Pashu means what?
Animals. In here, specifically the cows.
Pashupa means the caretaker of the cows. Pashupa, anga means body. Ja means to take birth. Pashupanga jaya. So you are the son of the owner of who takes care of the cows. So you're a cowherd boy. So you're basically the son of Nanda Maharaj. And he's praying, offering prayers like that.
So this is the beauty that Brahma, Lord Brahma saw.
Naumidyate bhravapushe tadidambra ambaraya gunjavatamsa paripichalasan mukhaya vanyashraje kavala vetra vishana venu lakshmashriye mridu pade pankajaya. Now, coming back to this verse, we know now this verse is talking about putting Krishna in the center. Now, in this verse, there is a very interesting line, tanmulatvad achyuta ijya andakoshangripo mahan. There is a big massive tree whose root, tat means the tree, whose root mulatvad achyuta. Therefore you worship him, ijya. Now, if you take a step back and look at people around us, okay, there is a constant yearning in people of one thing. What is that? You will see people around you, if you observe, there are people around us with equal intelligence, who are equally intelligent to us, who are less intelligent to us, and someone is superiorly intelligent to us. Is it not? And generally, in all society, not only in the human society, even in the animalistic society, if you see someone who is equally intelligent to us, what do people do? You make friends with them. If you see somebody who is not so intelligent to us, what is the general tendency? There are two tendencies, either to have compassion or to be very proud to them. And generally when we see somebody who is highly intelligent to us, what do we do? We either respect them or become envious. You can see this in the corporate atmosphere very nicely. Because when you see somebody who is doing equally good to you, what is the tendency? I want to compete. I want to be better than him. So this is a very general tendency. Actually, this tendency is both a boon and a disease. You know why? Why is it a disease? Because this material world is like that. It is a competitive world. Sabko compete karna hai yahan pe. We train our children to become competitive. I want you to become better than him. It's a disease. What disease is this? Finally, I want to become better than Krishna. I'll tell you why. Why is it a boon? Why is it a boon? Why is this tendency to become better is a boon? We work hard. Actually, it is required to become better. The problem is we do not know how to become better. That's the problem. We think if I study more than him, I will become better. If I compete him and exceed the ladder of the corporate atmosphere and become his boss, ye mera boss hai, main isko kal boss bana ke dikhaunga. Same mentality, Dhruva Maharaj also had the same mentality. I want to become even more bigger than my grandfather Brahmaji. Same, competitive mentality. This is the difference between a spiritual world and a material. Material world is full of competition. Spiritual world, there is no competition. There is no low-class competition like this. Why? Because here we compete for fame, fortune, intelligence, etc., etc., etc. Everybody in this material world is after becoming superior. I want to become superior. You go to the topmost person in this existence, the biggest corporate leaders who is supposed to be, claims to be the richest man in the world. I am the most famous, I am the most powerful, I am the most richest, I am the most intelligent, I am the most influential, you know. Everywhere yahi ho raha hai. Same thing is happening. But you know what they are doing recently? The biggest, richest people around the world, you know what they are doing? Did you hear? I'll tell you. The richest people in the world are busy building
underground bunkers. Have you heard that? You know how expensive they are building it? Mark Zuckerberg, you know, you've heard his name? The boss of Facebook. He's built a big bunker in Hawaii. Take a guess how much does this cost him? Take a guess. Wild guess. Good. Anyone else? 10 million one? 10 million two? Another guess. It's more than $200 million, US dollars to be specific. He spent this underground bunker. It's not just a house. It is self-sufficient. It has a hospital. It can have its own medical facilities. It can grow food. It has its own power. It can produce its own water in some sense. It has its own energy requirements. It has got temperature control, blah, 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 blah. And probably even nuclear, whatever, whatever. We don't know. Now you tell me, he's not the only one. Huh? Bill Gates has many of them around the world. Especially New Zealand is a very famous location, I heard. Now, looking at this requirement, there are a lot of builders who is actually honing their skills. Chalo, 200 million ka profit banate hain. So there are expert builders who are expert bunker builders now. But don't worry, they are offering some to peasants like us also. You know what is the cheapest bunker that we can also buy? Peasants like us also can buy. Peasants, I mean, sorry, I'm just taking the word peasants. This is a medieval word. Peasants also can afford a bunker. It's there in the menu. It costs, the cheapest bunker, which is beautiful, costs you about $500 US, $500,000 US, not 500, $500,000 US. So we can also afford to buy. Now the catch is not the bunkers. The catch is such powerful personalities. Why are they even building bunkers under the ground like rats? Is there something they are hiding from us that is going to happen? Take a guess. Is there something that they are hiding from us? Kuch hone wala hai kya? Ki all these rich people, I gave you examples of two. There are at least 50, 60 billionaires who are building underground bunkers. So why? Why? Do they think it's not safe to have a house above the land? You've got to go underground. Are they talking of a nuclear holocaust or what? So it's very interesting that so-called powerful and one guy wants to go to Mars as soon as possible. So we do not know why people are afraid to live here. So therefore, even though they are famous, even though they are powerful, they are afraid. That means there is someone superior to them, is it not? There is something superior to them. This is the beauty of Krishna's creation. Koi nahi bachega. Koi nahi bacha sakta. Nobody is superior here. This is beautiful creation of Krishna. Why? Tan molatvaj achyuta. He is superior to everyone. This is what Krishna establishes. So therefore, why is it a boon? It's a disease. Therefore, we are in this material world. We want to become Krishna. We want to become supermost. All this endeavor to become superior will eventually give us what? Fear. It will eventually give us fear because I want to become superior. What suppose if I not become superior? Fear. This is a disease. But why is it a boon? We also as devotees want to be superior. But we want to become superior devotee of Krishna. We want to be a Shuddha Bhakta of Krishna. We want to become a servant of Krishna. That is also becoming superior. So therefore, trying to become superior is not wrong. The process of trying to become superior is wrong. Don't try to become superior materially. Try to become spiritually superior. That is your constitutional position. Therefore, you can even become father of Krishna. You can become mother of Krishna. What to talk of becoming Krishna? You can become Krishna. You can become boss of Krishna. Yashodamai, you know, chasing Krishna. This is the secret. So therefore, in this verse, and this position of the Lord, therefore, Lord has a beautiful name. Nobody is equal to Krishna. No, nobody is superior to Krishna. What is the word that denotes him as that? In Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishad, it is claimed. He is called as, what is it, which is the quality where there is saying nobody is equal to Krishna? Asama. Sama means to be equal. Asama means not equal. And nobody is beyond Krishna. Urdhva. Therefore, he is called Asamurdhva. Huh? Asamurdhva means nobody is equal to Krishna and nobody is above Krishna or superior to Krishna. Therefore, he is
Asamaurdhva. Now let us flip back to 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We'll just meditate. Before going to the 15th chapter again, there's a beautiful, this is the quality of Krishna, right? Asamaurdhva. This quality is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Which chapter? 15th chapter. 15th chapter is actually the yoga of the Supreme Person. This is what Prabhupada translates. Or the theology of the superiority of Krishna. 15th chapter establishes the Upanishadic culmination that Krishna is the supermost or the superior most. 15th chapter, everybody knows, right? How many verses does 15th chapter have? 20 verses. How many verses does Bhagavad Gita have? 700. How many letters does 15th chapter have? Difficult, right? Very interesting. People, modern so-called scholars, if you go to people who write things in Wikipedia, they say, oh, Mahabharata dates back to 800, 900 years or maybe 1,200 years. People from 1,200 years wrote down Mahabharata. They claim like that. But if you see, our scriptures are very technical. There is a connection between spirit and numerology. Mathematics and spiritual was never a separate subject. In Vedic studies, mathematics, science and spirituality were never separate. They were all together. Therefore, advanced Vedic scholar is almost always a mathematician. He's always a scientist. They don't study separately. We'll just see from the glories of the 15th chapter for 2 seconds and then we'll proceed. It is said that the 15th chapter is the culmination of all the Upanishads in the Vedas. Therefore, they say, if you can't read any verses in the chapter of Bhagavad Gita, read the 15th chapter. Then you can complete all the Upanishadic study. Yes, have you all heard of that? Correct? Although we also say 12th chapter also you can read, or 9th chapter, because that's a Bhakti Yoga section. But if you want to finish the Upanishads, if you read 15th chapter, you have read the whole Upanishads of all the Vedas. That is what it is said. 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita has 700 letters. Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses. The condensed form of Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, has 700 letters. Okay? The first 32 verses, the first 32 letters, sorry, the first 15 verses, it has 20 verses, right? 20 verses. The first 15 verses have 32 letters each. How much is 32 into 15? 480. I can't calculate, I'm bad at maths. So it's 480, okay, 480 letters. And just the last 5 verses of 15th chapter have 44 letters, which gives you 220. 220 plus 480 is 700. So 700 verses. You see, 700 letters, 700 verses in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, numerology was very advanced. In this chapter, why am I speaking of 15th chapter? What is the first verse of the 15th chapter? Correct, a little louder. Translation? Now picture that for a while. This whole material world is compared to what? A banyan tree whose roots are, have you seen a tree whose roots are upwards? Probably not, because the roots will die if you actually expose it. So this verse also is hinting you to something else. What is it? This whole material world is a tree, inverted tree, a large tree, mahan tad moolatvad, mahan tad moolatvad. That moola, the root on the top, is what is the word used here? Urdhva moolam. Urdhva means uttama, uttamatvat. Urdhva means Krishna. The whole material world whose roots are up, up means Krishna, whose roots is Krishna. So therefore, tanmulatvaj achyuta, Prabhupada writes here. Therefore, he says, is a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, urdhva means Krishna. Urdhva moolam, the moola of this tree is Krishna. Urdhva moolam adhashakam ashwattham prahuravyayam chandamsiyasya paranani savedavit. So, urdhva moolam is Krishna. So, therefore, he is asama urdhva. You see, urdhva, urdhva means Krishna. Getting it now? So, urdhva means Krishna now. Now, coming back, So that now we have established Krishna is the supermost and the superior most. Therefore, we have to come out of the disease to become superior, because Krishna is always the superior. Therefore, now put this verse in perspective of this chapter, ideal family life. Because Krishna is the supermost, superior most, we have to put him in the center of our life. Therefore, then our family life will be ideal. Now the first line in this verse, Jeeva Rashibhir Akirna. This is a very interesting line, because the entire universe, which is full of living entities. I remember when I was in my school, my chemistry teacher used to tell me, life cannot sustain in highly acidic mediums. Have you heard this? And my teacher used to give me an example of sulfuric acid. Sulfuric acid is very dangerous. If you pour H2SO, its chemical formula is H2SO4. You put it on the skin, it'll burn. If you pull more, it'll actually melt your bones also sometimes. Very, very toxic. In such an acidic atmosphere, life cannot sustain. That's what she said. Because microscopes were not so advanced when I was in the school. Now, today, they have found there's something called as acidophiles. It's a kind of a bacteria which lives in acidic mediums and which thrives in acidic medium. That means if your skin can burn, bone can burn, then no living tissue can exist in that acidic medium. But even in that acidic medium, certain bacteria are living, multiplying, thriving, having families, pura ghar gharasti basaliya. They have full ideal family life, they are running around in H2SO4. They've recently discovered. Now, because of that, now they are thinking, okay, Venus, have you heard of Venus? Venus, it has a lot of sulfuric acid. Initially, they thought there is no life. Now they are saying, because there is a lot of sulfuric acid in Venus, and we have found that life can exist in sulfuric acid, there must be life on Venus. Now, this is modern science. They try to discover one by one by one. But Shastra clearly says, Jeeva Rashibhir Akirna. Unlimited living entities exist everywhere in this existence. Everywhere. There is no place in this existence where there is nothing called as vacuum. Vacuum, maybe there are living entities. The problem is, they may not be living entities just like us, dependent on water. You see, people think, scientists think, oh, life can exist only presence of water. Now, H2SO4 sulfuric acid is not water. Water cannot be present in sulfuric acid. You can still see life. So therefore, it's already proven that you can have life without water. So therefore, what Shastras are saying, therefore life can still exist in sun. Although you cannot imitate that, scriptures are saying probably there will be a day when you can discover a microscope to see something in the atmosphere of the sun, and you can see some bacterium or whatever existing and flying in the sun. Oh, okay, there is life in the sun. After 1,000 years they might discover, but this is 5,000 years ago, Vedavyasa said, yeah, I told you, life is there. So therefore, that also proves the superiority of Srimad Bhagavatam and the far-sightedness and advanced nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, therefore, because Krishna is the center of this universe, he is superior to everyone, we should offer Achyuta Ijya Sarva Jeevatma Tarpanam. When we worship Krishna, naturally, all living entities get satisfied. How does it work? Is it true? Is it even true that if I worship Krishna, everybody will get satisfied? How is it true? How do you then, now I'll just culminate, how do you apply to this disease we talked about, to becoming superior? I want to become superior to my comrade, but by applying that Krishna is the supermost, how do you apply this to cure my disease, to become the superior? Simple. If I see somebody superior to me, if I see somebody equal to me, if I see my own knowledge inside me, I should say, this is not my knowledge. This is Krishna's opulence in me, Krishna's opulence in this person. Why see his superiority, his intelligence separate from Krishna? Oh, Krishna has invested his intelligence into this person. Krishna has invested his opulence into this person. Therefore, Krishna, you are beautiful. Of course, you can't ignore the person. You can't say, your superiority is because Krishna has invested, you have nothing. No, we don't say that. Of course, you are fortunate to be invested of Krishna's potency in you. You are a patra. Bhakti Priya Mataji was talking about the patra. Patra means the person. The person has been invested with that opulence. So therefore, don't see him separate to Krishna. connect his intelligence to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna has invested. So therefore, not a single moment you will see anything, anyone separate from Krishna. When you come to this position, Tan Mulatvaj Achyuta Ija. Therefore, you are worshipping Krishna at all times. You are not seeing anyone separate from Krishna. Correct? Now I'll tell you, what suppose somebody criticizes you for being inferior? See that also as a special mercy of Krishna. Oh, Krishna has invested this criticizing power in him, and Krishna has arranged this wonderful criticizing mentality so that he has come specially to burn my karma. It is said when somebody criticizes you, they have been sent by Krishna to take your karma on them. To be very happy. You have to be very happy because Krishna has reduced your karma. So therefore you have to be very careful not to criticize devotees, because you are actually taking up their karma. It's a very serious business. So therefore, when we worship Krishna in this way, seeing Krishna in everyone, seeing Krishna everywhere, and in his meditating, in his teachings, especially following the instructions of Guru Sadhu Shastra, Krishna will get satisfied and all the jivas will get satisfied. With this, I'll stop here. We will just briefly discuss for 5 minutes. Today is Ishwarapuri's disappearance day. Who is Ishwarapuri? The spiritual master of Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very glorious personality. Today is his disappearance day. Actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that, you know Krishna? You know what is Krishna's occupation? He's a cowherd boy, of course, but he's also a farmer. Every guru, every acharya is a farmer. They're all called transcendental farmers. And what do they sow? What seed do they sow? Yes, the seed of bhakti. They all sow the seed of bhakti. Madhavendra Puri was the grand spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a very exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. He had invested, he has sown a seed in his disciple Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri had grown up as a wonderful creeper of bhakti, and he also had embodied the teachings of Madhavendra Puri. So Ishwarapuri also was a very exalted personality. What is the one defining factor of a pure devotee of Krishna? What is that one attribute Krishna loves in his devotee, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us in his teachings? Okay, compassion, there's another quality. Compassion also can come thinking I am better than him and then I'll have compassion on him. There is another quality which defines as an ornament of a devotee. It's an abhushana. It is a glowing ornament of a devotee which Krishna loves. Yes, humility. Dina. Dina Krishna Dase Koi. Ye na murahoi. When we become Dina, Krishna loves it. What is the first teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. This is the first teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This quality Ishwarapuri embodied. One day when he was coming to Navadvip, he had a desire to come and stay in Navadvip. And he wanted to visit the personalities around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He visited Advaita Acharya's house. Advaita Acharya, as usual, was doing his deity worship. But nobody knew he was a Vaishnava sannyasi, by the way. Puri, the word Puri itself, Puri, Bharati, Saraswati, there are 12 designations a sannyasi can have in the Advaita Sampradaya. You know, Saraswati, all that. If you come to the Dvaita in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, you will see Tirtha as a denotation of the sannyasis. But if you come in the Advaita Sampradaya, you will see Puri, Bharati, Saraswati and all of this. So he was, although he was from Advaita Sampradaya, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. They used to keep that so that they can be hidden Vaishnavas during that time, because there was a serious danger to Vaishnavas those times. Ramanujacharya was attacked and he was about to be killed.
They tried to attack our own Goswamis. You've seen that. They tried to attack Madhvacharya. They tried to kill him also. So there were repeated attempts to kill Acharyas because nobody wanted to. They were very envious of the philosophy of Vaishnavism. So they were covert Vaishnavas then. So Ishwarapuri also was a very humble and a very deena devotee of the Lord. When he came, he did not display himself as a sannyasi. He came as a very poor Shudra person, and he entered. He was sitting on the outskirts, outside of the house of Advaita Acharya, and Advaita Acharya saw him, and you know how he introduced, yes, and how can I help you? And Ishwarapuri says, Advaita Acharya said, oh, you seem to be very glowing personality. Who are you? Ishwarapuri introduces himself as a very low class Shudra. I'm a very low class Shudra. I'm yearning for some association. Right then, Mukundadatta enters the Advaita Acharya's house. They both suspect that this person doesn't seem to be a Shudra. So what does Mukundadatta do? He holds a magnifying lens. No. What is a magnifying lens? He starts singing very melodiously in the glorification of Krishna. Who? Mukundadatta. As soon as he starts singing, Ishwarapuri hears this and he faints. Of course, we can also try that nowadays. But except sometimes when we sing, people don't faint, they run away from that place. So we cannot apply those tests these days. But those days, Ishwarapuri fainted. The moment he fainted, they understood he must be some glorious personality. Then they inquired, who are you? You don't seem to be a low-class person. You seem to be a very exalted personality. Then they understood that he is the glorious disciple of Madhavendrapuri. So they all fell at their feet. When they heard that he was the disciple of Madhavendrapuri, Mukundadatta and Advaita Acharya fainted. We have such a glorious personality visiting our place. So when it says fainted, we have to understand it is an expression of the extent of exuberation that they have. It's not that they'll just faint artificially. It's not like that. It is the extent of ecstasy that they are going through, which is practically absent these days usually, because these days the emotions are very gross. But generally you will see these in younger kids. They have those ecstasies. They will demonstrate those ecstasies. They can cry very easily. They can laugh for simple things. You can see this, but as we grow up, for some reason, we become very gross. As the body becomes gross, the subtle emotions vanish. But devotees are not like that. They are pure. Then they ask Ishwarapuri to stay at their place. And one day, Nimai Pandit, he was not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, Nimai Pandit was walking with his disciples. Nimai Pandit was a very famous scholar. People used to come far and wide to study under him. What did he used to teach? Vyakarana Shastra. Nimai Pandit was a glorious grammar teacher in Sanskritam. If you're studying in Nimai Pandit, means you're studying in Harvard, like that. That was what Nimai Pandit's position was. So then they keep walking, and Ishwarapuri sees Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the first time, and he gets bewildered. He says, who is this personality? And then he inquires, who are you? Where do you stay? And then immediately his students of Nimai Pandit, they're all young students. Nimai Pandit was a very young boy. He was not an old man, he's not an old teacher. And he had all students. You know, it was a student teaching a student, a student teaching a student. So the students, he is Nimai Pandit, you know, our glorious teacher, don't you know? And he is the son of Mother Sachi. And Ishwarapuri understands, oh, he's Nimai Pandit. He's such a great scholar, and I am so fortunate to have his darshan. And then suddenly he understood that he is not someone so simple. He must be some glorious personality, but still he had his doubts in his mind. He did not know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Nimai Pandit pays his obeisances to Ishwarapuri. He says, you are Madhavendrapuri's disciple. You should come to our house. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invites Ishwarapuri to his house, and both Mother Sachi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu serves a big feast to Ishwarapuri. And then after Ishwarapuri has accepted his prasadam, the remnants were taken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sachi Devi, Mother Sachi Devi. So, and then I'll just cut the story short. After all of that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Gaya paying oblations to his forefathers. There Ishwarapuri comes. He also comes for the same reason. And there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I want to accept you as my spiritual master. And Ishwarapuri accepts it. You know why? Not because he wanted to be the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, I saw in the dream that you are none other than Krishna. And you are asking me to become your spiritual master for my own benefit. If this is your order, I will do it as a service to you, my dear Lord. So he accepts Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and initiates him with the 10-syllable mantra, Krishna mantra, and makes him his disciple. And there is one more incident where Ishwarapuri was compiling a beautiful book called Sri Krishna Leelamrita. And he wanted it to be edited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I will chant this. Can you find if it's perfect or it needs some improvement? Because Nimai Pandit was very expert, you know. And Nimai Pandit closed his ears. My goodness, you want me to find faults in the work of a devotee? I will go to hell. And he quotes a verse. If somebody finds fault in the work of a devotee, they will go to hell. So you have compiled this beautiful Leelamrita and you want me to go to hell by finding faults? No, I won't do that. It is always perfect. So I'll just end with a note that sometimes we read the scriptures and then we understand Krishna. Pure devotees, even they don't read the scriptures, whatever they speak, the scripture confirms to their speak. That is the beauty of pure devotees. Because whatever they speak, it's always perfect. And what is the duty for us? We have to find, oh, they said like this. Where is it in the scripture? You see, Prabhupada's words, you know, many times they say, Prabhupada is adding Krishna wherever Krishna is not there in the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, he's adding Krishna everywhere. Just to make, because Advaitins have removed Krishna, therefore Prabhupada has added Krishna too many times. No. That is making very trivial of Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada has added Krishna exactly where there has to be Krishna. Not simply, you know, superficially adding Krishna. No. You will come to know if you go deeper to say, why is Prabhupada even speaking about Krishna? For example, here, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. Prabhupada quotes this verse in the purport. Why did he mention this verse here? Because he wanted to establish the superiority of Krishna. Parashya Shaktir Vivudhaiva Shruyate. Krishna, Prabhupada quotes this verse many places. This is to establish the superiority of Krishna. So with this, I'll stop here. We can meditate on Ishwarapuri, who is the glorious devotee of Krishna, who is acting as the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We take his blessings so that we can understand a little bit in the teachings of Krishna, in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following in the footsteps of the Acharyas, specifically Srila Prabhupada. So I'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions, comments, or corrections if somebody has anything? Yes, Sevi. You want to have a mic?
Simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. But Prabhu, we see the devotees only worship the deities, but like don't worship like or respect the devotees. They're called Kanishta Adhikaris.
Yes.
So how do we understand these two points?
Okay. Devotees also have a taratamya, hierarchy. The consciousness actually has to mature. Evolution of consciousness in the devotees also have to mature. Somebody who thinks Krishna is only in the deity form and not in the devotees, he doesn't sit as Purushottama, as Paramatma in everyone. Somebody does not have that realization. That means he is in the beginning stages of understanding Krishna. And that is fine. And if somebody has a better understanding, so one can guide him towards that understanding. And one will come gradually to that understanding to understand that I can see Krishna now in the devotees as well, in the capabilities of the devotees as well. So that is a gradual progression or evolution of their consciousness. So when we see that there is a devotee who does that, we should not criticize, oh, here comes another Kanishta. Because when we say that, what are we implying? I'm also a Kanishta by saying that, is it not? Because I did not see Krishna in him. So Krishna has created this circumstance for me to assess what is my consciousness. You getting the point? So somebody is a Kanishta. He is not respecting the devotees. Now if in my mind I'm thinking, look at this guy. He's not respecting the devotees. By just thinking like this, what is that I'm doing? I'm also not respecting him.
So what am I? I'm also a Kanishtha. So you see, very subtle. These are very subtle dealings of the consciousness. So if one thinks, wow, Krishna has manifested this scenario in front of me to understand that everything is ordained and controlled by Krishna. Nothing is happening without Krishna's desire. Yeah. Then if you see in that perspective, then you're saved by Maya. Then I don't fall into the trap of Kanishtha, becoming a Kanishtha. Does it make sense? And it's very subtle. That's why spiritual progression is kshurasya dharaha, walking on a sharp razor edge. Thank you for the nice question.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Same question like she asked.
Thanks.
Like in general, I'm not talking about devotees. Someone is criticizing you or cursing you.
Yeah.
As a devotee, as you mentioned, we should see Krishna in every yes. single living entity.
Yes.
So how we can handle that?
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's very, very, very hard, Prabhu.
Yeah. Very nice question, Prabhuji. In fact, we all go through this. And trust me, I'm speaking only theoretically here. I don't have any realizations on that matter. These instances when somebody criticizes us and we feel bad, there also we have to talk about evolution of consciousness. The moment we feel bad, what does it mean?
Ego.
Yes. I am not seeing Krishna in him who is criticizing me. I'm getting hurt because I'm maan, mera apmaan hua hai. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amani na manade na kirtaniya sadaharihi. Unless we come to the point of being udasina. Udasina vadasina gatavyataha. Krishna says udasina means I'm indifferent whether somebody glorifies me, somebody criticizes me. To reach to that consciousness, it's a journey. And the measure of what defines my state of consciousness when somebody criticizes me is our sadhana. Is the mercy that I am eliciting or soliciting from the sadhana, from the seva, from the sadachar, from the adhyana I am doing. Our whole point is to come to that stage of consciousness where I am indifferent whether somebody, because for him he is seeing Krishna everywhere. Oh, Krishna, you have come to me and criticizing me like this? Okay, what do I learn from this, Krishna? Please protect me. You've heard the story where one of the acharyas is going to Ganga and is coming out and this mlecha is spitting on him.
Yes.
He spits on him 108 times and he's going and bathing in Ganga 108 times. And after that, the mlecha falls at his feet and says, what sort of a personality you are? You're not angry, you're just... He says, you are specially sent by the Lord because today is Dwadasi and because of you I have taken 108 times dip in Ganga. He has not seen anything separate from Krishna. It's a very elevated stage of consciousness. We see this in Prabhupada as well. Some hippie telling him, Swamiji, I think you should chant. Prabhupada started chanting. Somebody told him, you should go for a walk. Prabhupada started morning walks. So these are personalities in those indifferentiated consciousness. So to reach that consciousness is the endeavor. It's a measure. So if I become criticized, if I become pained by someone's criticism, it's a measure to say, I've got a long way to go. And second thing is, what suppose somebody is walking on me all the time and you feel dejected? That means we don't have faith on Krishna. Krishna will never make us downtrodden like that. Krishna, have Shraddha on Krishna. Krishna's devotees will always win. That's what Krishna says in the last, in the verse, in the Bhagavad Gita. Name bhakta pranashyati iti samshritya samshritya pranan sandharayamyaham. Arjuna says this to Krishna. I'm holding my breath only because I'm relying on you, Krishna. Because you have promised that your devotees will never perish. Krishna says to Arjuna, you go and declare that my devotees will never perish. So like that. I'm not there, Prabhuji, but no, this is the state of consciousness which we need to be in. But of course, based on where you are, in which position you are, sometimes you have to say certain things which you have to correct somebody, etc. But that has to be done in a way that your superiority complex, not with superiority complex, but as a seva. That also is very important if you're in a position to correct someone or to rectify someone or a situation. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. So we'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrind ki jai, Shriman Ishwara Puri Maharaj ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandeya. Hari Hari Bol.
Stop. रसनाखान्वितं त्वं सजीवम् शाक्तैतं तावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णा चैतन्नादेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सागनगरिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च कृष्णचैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.